Well, I already know you got to pray for your preacher. He lied while he's up here. He implied that he wasn't a good preacher. I listen to him on Facebook, no better than that, don't you? Can I get an amen? Good to be in the house of the Lord today. It was true, we were on the outside the last time I was here. I was up in Kentucky a few months ago. There was a farmer there that was sharing with me how he liked to study his animals to see their nature. He said, I've got some bobwhite quail. And he said, I notice they always act like a flock. Everything they do together. And he said, I was watching them one day, and he said, in their pen, they lined up two lines, one in front of the other. Said, I'd never seen them do that before. I watched them. And he said, then they began to move their wings, make a little racket, and they charged forward in unison. He said, I was amazed. And he said, just in a second, I saw a snake shoot out the side of that pen. He said, I realized what one of them little birds couldn't do by itself. They could all do together. That's why God wants us to assemble together. I need not only his presence, but your presence. And you need my presence, that we can share what God has done for each of us, that we might be strengthened together in the faith. And so I rejoice that you're here, and I certainly am glad to be here also. Always a joy. Many places the Lord has opened up for us, but none any more blessed than Bethel. We certainly are appreciative for the privilege of being able to come this way. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to the book of Luke in chapter number 15. Familiar passage of scripture, I'm sure. I tell folks, when this COVID thing first hit and they put out the regulations about social distancing and wearing the mask, I thought you were supposed to do that at home. I mean, I thought it applied everywhere. And I kept telling Esther, I said, you've got to stay away. I mean, you're getting too close. You ever try to kiss through a mask? We wore out three masks before I figured it out. But we got that settled anyhow. Some of the old timers are going, bleh, bleh, bleh. Oh, well, we're here. We might as well have a good time, haven't we? I want to pull out actually two words from verse 14 of the parable of the prodigal. And the scripture said, spent all. I would suggest to you that he, like you and I, all is all you've got. But it is possible to spend it all. And here we see that the prodigal son spent all. Your spending says as much about you as anything. Where you spend, what you spend, how you spend. But it is here that this young man spent more than his money. I can't help but believe he spent his mind. I'm sure he spent his health. You can't go out into the far country without losing on every level. He certainly spent his time. He spent his wealth. He spent virtually every dime. Let's read through this text down to verse 23 and I want to look at some things that you can't readily see, but if you can see them, they will show you much. I want you to listen for some things that you can't readily hear, but if you can hear them, you will hear much. Look in verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into the far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there's our phrase, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his hands and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf. Kill it, and let us eat and be merry. I want us to look down through this text and see what we can see and hear what we can hear. Concerning this two-word sermon, spent all. The first thing that I would emphasize that I see is that this young man spent all, we're sure, but he really had nothing to spend. Did you notice that the Bible said in verse number 12 that he divided unto them his living, the father's living? The elder brother realized that in verse number 30. He said, But as soon as this thy son is come, which hath devoured thy living. When the prodigal son took up root and ventured off into the far country, no doubt with wagon loads, it was all that which had been invested in him. It was all that which had been given to him. His very body was a gift. His breath that he breathed was a gift. The very belongings and bounty that he took with him did not belong to him. It belonged to someone else and was given to him. I noticed throughout the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, as the children of Israel were moving into the promised land, God kept using that word give and given. I'm going to give to you. Yes. And he talked about the milk and the honey. He talked about the land. He talked about the walled cities. He said, Now when you get there, don't begin to think that you accomplished this. I gave it to you. Right. Have you ever thought about who you would be and where you would be if it had not been for the investments of others? I'm thinking about the investment of a mother who went to death's door to bring you into this world. I'm thinking about the investment of the father who loved for you and worked daily to provide for you. I'm thinking about the investment of a teacher who studiously taught you what you know. I'm thinking about all the input and the impact upon our lives that has brought us to where we are this day. I'm thinking about the impact of heaven. I'm thinking about the very creation that God in creation gave us life. Again, I'm thinking about the very breath that we breathe is a gift of heaven. But the gift of salvation of His Son. He has given us of His grace. He has given us of his mercy. He has given us of his love. He has given us of his peace. He has given us of his joy. How much heaven has invested in us this morning. It is not the boy's living, it is the father's living. He ventures off into the far country with everything that is not his own. Let us be cautious and let us be careful that we not spend so readily that which has been given to us. Let us not throw away the love that has been shown us. Let us not throw away the prayers that have been prayed for us. Let us not throw away all of the investments that has been bestowed upon us. Let us hold them dearly to our hearts and say in our hearts, we refuse to spend all of this. He spent all, and you can spend. But I'm going to tell you, you came into this world with nothing. You will leave with nothing. And what you spend is not your own. It has been directly and indirectly invested in you. He spent all, but he really, and how humbling that is, he really had nothing. Can you see that? Can you hear that? Oh, let it speak to our hearts. But the second thing I'd have you to notice in this little sermon of spent all, not only did he spend all but had nothing, I notice he spent all on nothing. You say, well, now, preacher, how do you know that? Because the scripture said he wasted his substance on riotous living and when he had spent all. In other words, when we come down to the end of his journey in the far country, he has nothing to show for all that he has spent. I'm sure that no young man ever went into that far country with as much as he did because he brought the Father's living. We have the very image of God. We are made in the image of God. We each individually have so much bestowed upon us and put in us. Do we have anything to show for it? He has spent all, and what he has left is vanity, as Solomon would say. It's kind of like blowing the bubbles, as a kid would do. And it looks so fascinating, but once you touch it, there's nothing left. And I cannot tell you what all he had when he went, but I want you to know nothing was left of it to show for what he had spent. Several years ago, we were up in Ohio preaching a revival, and the pastor wanted to go out in certain community was having a community yard sale. That's where you go buy everybody else's junk. And so we were looking at the things that were for sale, and believe it or not, they had a bowling ball there. And the intriguing thing about it is my wife picked up that bowling ball, and would you believe it fit her hand perfectly? The right weight, everything, and all they wanted was $3. Well, you can't pass up a bowling ball for $3. Only problem is we never bowled. So we purchased the bowling ball, took it home. We had a little shed out there, and we put it back in that shed. Stayed there several years. And then when we went into evangelism, we had our own yard sale, Brother Harold, and we brought it out and set it on the table. The thing sat there all day, and finally someone bought it for $1. It's amazing how we can invest and come up with so little. And I'm just talking about a $3 bowling ball. But I'm going to tell you, I don't want to be a $3 bowling ball for God after everything he's done for me. When I draw my last breath, I want it to be that I have invested in some things that are going to be eternal. They're going to last forever. They'll work in your life. He's given you a mind to invest, to leave behind. He's given you a heart to invest and leave behind. He's given you abilities to invest and leave behind. If you're saved, he's given you his Son and his Spirit to invest and leave behind. My grandyoungins that are here, and you'll recognize them, they all look like me. I mean, really, if I wasn't fat and I had dark hair and wasn't so old and was good looking. But I create words for them, and one of the words that I've created for them is a whirly-derb. You know what a whirly-derb is? You don't have to be a child to have a whirly-derb. A grown-up can have a whirly-derb. That's something you're fascinated with that you'll go and buy that a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month later, you don't even know where it's at, and it don't mean that much to you. It's a whirly-derb. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want my life to be filled with whirly-derbs. That I have taken of all of this investment in this one person that cannot be calculated, and I have blown it and thrown it to the wind. Say to you, he spent all, but he really had nothing. He spent all, so sadly, on nothing. Nothing to show for what his father had given him. Nothing to show for how his father had favored him. Nothing to show for who he was. Nothing. Well, that little word, spent all. Can you see that? Can you hear that? And you've got it. You've got all that you've got. He spent all, but he had nothing. He spent all on nothing. But thirdly, I would emphasize, he spent all and gave nothing. Now, there are no promises in the Bible connected to spending anywhere. Did you know that? But the Bible is filled with promises for giving. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, running over, shall men give in to your bosom. Cast your bread upon the water. After many days, it shall return unto you. You often hear your pastor say, you can't outgive God. There is no way. He always has a bountiful supply. But here, this young man, I can prove again that he gave to no good causes. He saw nothing that was of a demand to his conscience or his spirit that he might invest in. There were no children's homes. There were no missionaries on mission fields. There were no hospitals. There were no elderly. There were no people who were sickly. There were no poor. He never saw anything that he would take just a little bit of all that he was and all that he had. I mean, how much could he have helped if he had just took a portion? He took of his father's living. We have so much to give. But as far as I can tell in this scripture, he gave absolutely nothing. He spent all, had nothing, spent all on nothing. He spent all and he gave nothing. No investments at all. I think about another son who left his home. And he went into a far country. And he brought his father's living. You know who it was? But he never spent anything. He gave it all. Huh? And aren't you glad that you have benefited? Folks can benefit off of what you give. They can't really benefit off of what you spend. It ought to be on our hearts and on our minds. God, how much of this that you've given me can I share with somebody else on all levels? Can I, Lord, I've got so much time. Can I give some of it away? Lord, I've got some talent. Can I use it and invest it? As Brother Harold here is, 22 years old, I believe you said, up here still singing for Jesus. And what a blessing. Stopped by his house and he sang that song. I said, you got to go, you got to be there Sunday morning. That church has got to hear that. He said, well, of course he's 22. He's had some troubles. COVID and all that other stuff. He said, if I can. I said, well, I mean, you know, I don't want you to overdo it, but be there if you can. And here they are, his dear friend. With him, and that's making sure. You see, it's not how much you've got that counts, it's how much you give that counts. We have been sent into this world with the same purpose that Jesus came, and that is to give. And if there ever was a world that needed, this world needed it. But he has spent it all and he has given nothing of himself. So are you getting what I'm saying? He spent all, had nothing, spent all on nothing, spent all and gave nothing. But if you look down in verse number 18, 19, and 20, you'll notice that he spent all. And here's where spending brings you. He spent all and became nothing. Wow. It's amazing that we could have so much in body, in mind, in spirit, in ability, in the love of others, the prayers for others. I mean, just think of all that has, been given to you. Think about where you're sitting right now. Think about this man of God that so faithfully preaches to you. Think about these people that love you and you love each other. Just think about all that you have and all that has been invested in you and been invested in me. And to come to the place that where that which was so much becomes so little. It becomes nothing. You say, well, now, preacher, I don't think you ought to judge this boy by saying he became nothing. I'm not judging him. He said it himself. He got to that place now with so much. To where he became, I don't know how much he had when he went into that foreign country. But I do know this, let me say it this way, I don't know how much he was worth. I mean, if you could tally up, he came with his father's living. Now, how much is that? I mean, how could you tell? You've got your father's living. I'm talking about on an earthly sense and on a heavenly sense. I mean, just think about it. What a price tag would you put on Calvary itself, of which he gave his all? I'm telling you, he's coming into the far country. I don't know how much he's worth, but I know this much. But the time he was over, he was worthless. Zero in his own eyes. He said, I'm going to go tell my daddy that I'm not even worthy to be called a son. That's how he felt about himself. Don't you see that around you many times just in these cities driving along? You see people who have come to naught in their own lives. They're sitting there with nothing. That's not only his view of himself. He went to the citizens of that country that he had funded with a good time. And when he had spent it all, he went to them to get help. And the Bible said, no man gave unto him. Basically, what they were saying was, we don't only see anything in you worth giving to. It'd be like pouring money down a drain. We've noticed how you've wasted everything you've got, and we're not going to waste with you. I'm going to tell you, this old world has one thing in mind. Understand why you're spending. They want you to spend because what they want is everything you got. And once they've got it all, they don't care about you. You're worth nothing. You don't believe that. Hey, listen to me. This matter, I say this to the young people, this matter of popularity, how popular I am with everybody, you know, in school, everything else. I just want to be popular. And when you are popular, this world will just pat you on the back and they'll suck everything. Look at the movie stars. I mean, they just suck the lives out of them. And then they end up dying alone, overdosed and drugged and everything else. And the news media has nothing but negatives to say on me. Why? Because they're not worth anything anymore. This boy, busy spending everything that had been invested and given to him and left himself with nothing, and he became a zero in his sight, in the sight of the citizens of that country. But hey, God forbid I leave him there, because what I want to tell you is, no matter how low you are, no matter how far down you've gone, you'll never be worthless in the sight of God. Amen. You'll never be a zero to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
You're worth so much to him that he gave the best that heaven had to purchase you and buy you. Thank God. If you've been spending, realize you need to head home to the one that really sees you through the eyes of his love. That's good preaching if I'm doing it. But listen to that. He spent all and had nothing. He spent all on nothing. He spent all, gave nothing. He spent all and became nothing.
Yeah.
Esther was reading to me something she found recently in Great Britain, an elderly gentleman. Caught the COVID and they put him in there, put him on the ventilator. He's on a ventilator. He lived, got out of it, and he's at home, and they sent him and what the itemized bill was for that. And she looked over at him, his wife did, and he was praising the Lord. And she said, what are you praising the Lord for? He said, I just noticed that, and I figured in American money, it equaled to $6,000. He said, for my 4 days of oxygen, air, they charged me $6,000. And he said, I just got to thinking God had been giving me it free for 70 years. Woo! How much has God been giving you that you've been overlooking, that he's invested in you? You've got so much of your father's living. Don't become nothing. The last thing. Now you got to see it to see it. And hear it to hear it. I want you to notice that he spent all and he left nothing. You know, when the prodigal son left the far country would have been better off if he'd never been there. For the first time when I was meditating on this, my heart caught a a feel of compassion for the far country. We always give the far country a bad rap. The far country is the far country. That's just what it is. No need getting down on the far country. That's the far country. Somebody said, you see what they're doing in Washington. What do you expect? Don't get all upset about that. The devil's the devil. You expect him to... He's going to do what he does. Far country is a far country. You ever hear the one about the politician died, went to heaven? You won't either. I hope there's no politicians here. You could go to the far country. Now think, if the far country, listen to me, I'm thinking about the far country. I'm thinking about all of that lostness there. All of that darkness is there. All of that evil that is there. All of that ungodliness there. If the far country ever had a hope, it was this boy. He came, I'm going to tell you, he came into this country knowing about another country. A wonderful country. He came into this country knowing about a father. He came into this country knowing about forgiveness because he knew about it when he came to himself. He came to this far country with so much truth and left nothing on any level. He left no prayers behind. He left no testimony behind. He left no sinners saved behind. If you went into that far country and said, was there a boy that came through here that was from another country, had a wonderful father, knew a God that forgave, that said, nah, we got a lot of people come through. We don't ever remember anybody like that. Hey, God has sent you through this world not so you can just spend and make a living. He sent you through this world to leave something behind. Amen. Leaving something behind. Years ago, I heard a preacher preach on some things I'm going to leave behind. He had 17. I don't want to mention all them. I will mention three. I registered in my mind, kept it in, and it came handy when I was thinking of this. I liked it. He said, first of all, I want to leave behind a testimony that I knew the Lord. Nothing any harder on a preacher than to preach a funeral where a man has lived his whole life and hadn't even left a testimony behind. For his wife, for his children, for his family. And you hate to just get up and say, the guy's in hell. You just hate to do that. But and a preacher won't in such terms, but he can't put him in heaven. Second thing he said, I want to leave behind. He said, I want to leave behind a worn out Bible. I had a fellow ask me to preach his mother's funeral, elderly lady in the community over there at Boone. I said, well, I knew him and his wife and his family. I said, but I don't know her. And he said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll bring her Bible by. He brought the Bible by and it told me everything I needed to know about it. She had wore that Bible out and marked it all the way down to the end. Made for easy preaching. But the last thing he said he wanted to leave behind, I had to think about it for a while. I thought, well, I don't know about that. And then it got me. He said, I want to leave behind a happy devil. He said, I don't want the devil to be mourning because I'm gone. But he said, I want to have attacked his kingdom and preached light into his darkness and sang praises into his ungodliness and saw people born again so that when I leave out, he's going to call all of his cohorts together and they're going to have a party. You know, it's still evident that Joseph was in Egypt. I went there for 10 days preaching years ago, and they took me to a place and said, now right out there is where all those vats were where Joseph buried that corn. They still, and this is an Egyptian talking, they still, he left an impact there. An impact. I went to Greece, and I went up to Mars Hill. And I didn't think so much about all those idols. What I was thinking about, Paul was here. He left an impact. And boy, aren't you glad that they still evidence in our hearts that Jesus was here. Leaving something behind. I say to you, he spent all, had nothing, on nothing, gave nothing, became nothing, left nothing. And let me say this, and I'll close. There's only one way to keep from spending all. One way. You say, preacher, what is it? Listen to me now, young and old. You got a lot. It's been invested in you already. And there's only one way to keep from spending it all. You say, preacher, what is it? To never forget the all that has been spent on you. If you never lose that gratitude and thankfulness for all that mother's done for you, all that father's done for you, all that's happened to you as far as heaven is concerned, and all that takes place here at the church, and all the preaching you get, and all the love you get, and all the prayers that come your way, if you never get over that, you won't waste it. You'll be 22 years old and still got something to sing about. And you'll never run out because you hadn't wasted it of the things that are eternal. You'll always have them. I mean, God saved me as a 14-year-old boy. I am now 67 years old, and I still got what he gave me.
Yep.
And it seems like though I give it out, it doesn't wane a bit. It doesn't go down any.
Amen.
Never forget the all that has been invested in you, and you won't throw it away. Now you will give, but you won't spend that eternal. Lord, help me to be a giver and not so much a spender. Let's stand.